So tonight's Bible talk is about Jesus, our prophet. And there's actually quite a lot in the Bible about prophets. In fact, the word prophet comes up about 450 times. I think that's just the word prophet. I think prophet and prophets. But it comes up a lot. There's a lot about the prophets. In the Old Testament, we have the many books of the prophets. So the Bible has 66 books in it. It has the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the many of the books of the Old Testament were written by prophets. So we actually have a section that are called the major prophets, and we have a section called the minor prophets. And they're the writings of those prophets. And the law of God, the Bible, the Old Testament, was actually referred to by the Israelites in Jesus' time as the law and the prophets, that incorporated the books of Moses as well as the books that the prophets wrote. So tonight we're going to try and answer the question, what is a prophet? And why does Peter make a point of saying at the end of our reading that they all had the Spirit of Christ in them and that they prophesied of the grace that would come to future believers? So, the first question, what's a prophet? I looked up my Bible dictionary for a definition, and the Thayer's and Smith's Bible Dictionary tells us that a prophet is one who, moved by the Spirit of God, and hence his organ or spokesman, solemnly declares to men what he has received by inspiration, especially concerning future events, and in particular such as relate to the cause and kingdom of God and to human salvation. So it's a bit of a mouthful. You can follow it through. It's all very logical and in order, as you'd expect. But if we simplify it a little bit, we could say that a prophet is a spokesman for God. He's a spokesman for God. He's inspired by God. And he has the job of giving God's message or God's messages to people. You should think about a prophet in the same way that you might think about an ambassador. An ambassador represents, he represents the government of his home country, and he only speaks the words that his government want him to speak, and they're the words that he gives to those, to the people in the country in which he is an ambassador. And that's what a prophet does. He represents God and he speaks God's word to people on God's behalf. He passes on God's message to us. You look at this, you think, that's quite a message. That's quite a message. There's a lot in there. And that's absolutely true. I just said there's 66 books in there. And it takes a very long time to read through that whole book. And yet, there is actually a very singular, unified message that comes through all of the Holy Scriptures. Now, this won't necessarily be evident the very first time you pick up the Bible and read it. But it will become evident as you really read it, as you seek to understand it, as you are reading that regularly, as you read the scriptures regularly, you'll find that message coming to you. And in these Bible talks here at Kalanga, we're trying to highlight this message. Because if you read the Bible apart from the unified message that I'm going to talk to you about in a second, then you're just going to read it as a whole heap of random text that may or may not have just a vague relevance to your life. And the Bible offers so much more than that to us. There is a message. It is a message that runs throughout all the Bible and is expressed in various ways in each of the 66 books of the Bible. And in our reading, it's summarized in 10 words at the end of verse 9. Peter says there, "Though you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So those 10 words, the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls, I believe, sums up the core message that we have been given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Because the Bible is a book of faith. It's about helping us understand our world. It helps us to understand how it came into being. It helps us to understand also how an amazing planet that's actually so different to any of the other planets. It's a planet that has the unexplained miracle of life in it. It explains how it actually got so messed up. We know that we live in a messed up world, and the Bible talks to us about that. It tells us why it got messed up. And it provides answers to why it got messed up by telling us to look in faith toward the unseen God who designed and created the whole universe, the centerpiece being the planet Earth. There's a lot of talk at the moment about Mars and going to Mars. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was sent down to Earth, and mankind was the crowning achievement of God. So we're special. We're special to God. And the Bible reveals the sin of man. It talks to us about how the sin of man brought judgment on the whole of creation and on man himself. But the most important message of all, for us at least, is how we can be saved from the judgment. So the crux of the message, the crux of God's message to us is he wants us to hear him and he wants us to obey him. It's right there in the Holy Scriptures. To what end? The end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So the salvation, the message of the Bible is a message of salvation. It's being saved. It's good news. In fact, that's what the central message is called. It's called the gospel. The gospel basically just means good news. And that's what Peter, ran around the garden to get to the point that Peter was focusing on this in his letter to the Christians who'd been scattered throughout Asia Minor. In a time when the Christians were suffering awful persecution, Peter wrote to encourage them and to point them toward the final purpose of their earthly suffering, which was eternal peace and everlasting life. But his letter does something else as well, and this is where we'll address that second question that we asked earlier. Why does Peter make a point of saying that the Old Testament prophets all had the Spirit of Christ in them and that they prophesied of the grace that would come to future believers? And the short answer is because of the importance of showing that throughout human history, the message has always been the same. The message has always been the same. There's a lot of people that say it hasn't. There are some which say, no, the God of the Old Testament is very different from the God of the New Testament. It's not true. It's not true. God doesn't change, and his message does not change either. In James 1:17, we're told, every good and perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So when the Father of lights, the Father was the one who said, let there be lights, let there be light. He is the Father of lights. And in him there is no variation or shadow of turning. And this particularly applies to the message of salvation. It applies to the message of salvation, that salvation is a free gift of God. When the apostles told the pagans about the free gift of God in the first century, tens of thousands of them were given that gift by the Lord. But this very same gift had already been given to so many others prior to the time of Peter's letter. Peter's message of salvation was essentially no different to the message of the Old Testament prophets. It was no different. Peter wanted the new Christians who were suffering persecution to know that. It was really important at that time that they knew that the message of salvation which Peter and the apostles were preaching to them was not a new message. It wasn't a radical new message. It was an old one, not a new one. And so he makes these very clear links between the messages that the Israelite prophets of the Old Testament were giving to the people of Israel back then and this seemingly new message of salvation that had Jesus Christ as the central figure. And he shows that the message of the Old Testament prophets, the Old Testament prophets were giving the Israelites back then also had the Savior, the Messiah, as their focal point. The message that salvation can only be found in Jesus Christ was not a new one, even though the Old Testament prophets, of course, they never knew the name Christ. They lived before Christ. They did not know who the Messiah would be. They did not know. They looked forward to a Savior to come, but they prophesied of him. And in our reading, we're told that these Old Testament prophets, they prophesied through the same Spirit. And that's described in our reading as the Spirit of Christ. I'll just read this section again, this section of our reading. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. So this is actually extraordinary. Because what Peter was saying to the Christians in Asia Minor, he was telling them that the prophecies of the Old Testament prophets were being fulfilled at that very time that he was writing. So these were wonderful truths. We're told that these were truths that were eternal. They were truths that angels desired to look into. And so, of course, it's a wonderful privilege for us to look into these things ourselves. Because we see in this message that Jesus Christ was actually centrally involved. He was centrally involved in the prophecies of those Old Testament prophets. He was centrally involved. Therefore, knowing Jesus means knowing that he too was a very special prophet. In Acts chapter 3 and verses 22 and 23, the apostle Peter, he quotes Moses telling the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 18, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you. And it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people." He was referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is made clear 3 verses down. I don't have it written here, but 3 verses down from this, Luke makes it clear that this prophet is Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the ultimate prophet. His spirit and his message, the message that we were talking about earlier on, they've been declared by the Old Testament prophets before him, who each had the spirit of Christ in them. It was his spirit that inspired them to prophesy about the sufferings of Christ and about the glories that would follow. And so this means that Jesus is the ultimate prophet, because God's messages to his people always had him as their special, as their center point. His spirit provided the core of the message, the messages that they gave. And Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1 clarifies this point. It says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds." And so we see in this verse that God no longer speaks through his prophets. He speaks to us in these last days through his Son, the ultimate prophet, the one through whom the prophets originally spoke. And so we're in the last days now, and Jesus' message is as loud and as clear today as it was, or even clearer than it was back in the days of Elijah, Elisha, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of those prophets of old. And the message remains the same: repent and believe, and you'll be saved. That was the central message. As Peter said, the end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. That's our great prophet Jesus' primary message to us. Repent and believe, and you'll be saved. The end of your faith is the salvation of your souls. So let's hear that message from our prophet, and let's believe it. Amen.